Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
A real treat today, investors. The Brain is joining us, Jeffrey Haley, OAMDA Senior Market Analyst. How are you, Jeff?
I'm very good, although Mrs. Haley would not usually use the words The Brain and Jeffrey Haley in one sentence.
Wait until she hears you in lightning round. Okay, listeners, we're going to do this show in three parts. The overall narrative of the market, specific stocks, investment areas, and then we're going to put Jeff through our first ever investor lightning round. We are all excited. Are you ready, Jeff?
I was born ready. It's Friday.
You sound like it. Let's start with the overall narrative of what is driving markets. Despite last night's drop, the S&P 500 still up more than 35% over the past 2 months. There is a whole laundry list of bad news that investors seem to be overlooking, from the number of COVID cases to declining corporate profits. Jeff, what is driving the rally?
Yes, I'm calling this the peak virus trade. So we're seeing around the world the beginning of the end of lockdowns across many economies across the world, including the United States and Europe. Now, whether that's premature or not is yet to be seen, particularly in the case of the United States. We've also seen a truly galactic amount of unconventional monetary policy easing by the world's central banks, with more quite clearly telegraphed to come, as well as huge fiscal stimulus measures by central governments. Mm-hmm. And this huge wave of money is basically flowing into financial markets. And along with the optimism that we are past the peak of coronavirus in the developed world, this is the sentiment that is driving markets, despite the fact that what the markets are seeing and what we are all experiencing on the ground seem to be very, very different situations.
Let's talk about this wave of money. The U.S. Federal Reserve has been buying corporate bonds, which is pushing their yields lower. I read a quote from an analyst who said that with yields so low, there is really nowhere else to put your money aside from stocks. Do you agree?
He's got a point there. I guess the only place to go is domestic real estate, buy a house or buy equities. It's all come back to this search for yield theme that we've had really since the global financial crisis, which has pushed up asset prices everywhere. If you're trying to buy a house these days or a HDB, then you'll be grumbling because of where the prices have moved, but your income hasn't. So this is just continuing that trend, basically. I think central banks were looking to try and wind down some of that unconventional policy over the next few years. Well, that's how they were intending to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, COVID-19 and this pandemic has thrown a huge spanner in those wheels. And we can expect to see low, low rates for a very long time now.
I want to return now to U.S.-China tensions. There is a growing list of public disagreements, including debates over the origin of COVID-19, new security laws in Hong Kong, China's treatment of Uyghurs, not to mention trade and technology. Now, U.S. President Donald Trump will hold a press conference tonight to address these issues. The announcement of that press conference triggered a sell-off on Wall Street overnight. Jeff, investors have really overlooked U.S.-China disagreements for the last couple of months. Do you expect these tensions to once again become a main part of the stock market narrative?
I really believe it will all be down to the detail of what repercussions China will face from the United States with regard to this Hong Kong security law. I don't think the timing's very good. It seems strange to me that they would come down so hard on this particular point when the world's economy is so weak and the fallout that could have. So, I mean, if we're talking new tariffs, trade barriers, penalizing China, then this could take the wind out of the sails. But we have to realize that the actual the rally in asset markets we've seen, it's being powered by unconventional monetary policy mostly. And I think, if anything, it will only cause temporary dips in the market. That is the underlying theme at the moment.
Okay, before we move on to some specific sectors, Jeff, could you sum up for us what you see as the main themes that are driving markets in the months ahead? I mean, do you see a V or a barbell? What do you see as the main themes?
We definitely aren't going to see a V-shaped recovery. That naivety of the most highest order The best I'm seeing is sort of a U-shaped recovery with a pretty wide bottom of that U, to be honest. Some countries or some parts of the world will recover faster than others. Even after COVID-19 is brought under control, we're still quite some way away from a vaccine. And air travel, international travel, isn't going to return to what we are used to over the past few decades anytime in the next 12 to 18 months. That's going to crimp economic growth. So I'm expecting us to bounce along the bottom for the next few months before we start seeing a gentle recovery later in the year. The only thing I think that could upset that is if someone magically comes up with a COVID-19 vaccine in the next few months and we're all back to where we started by 2021. I think the unconventional monetary policy that we've seen in such huge amounts around the world will continue to support equity markets in particular, and oil to a lesser extent, despite the fact that, given what we see on the ground in our everyday lives, that seems quite contrary to real life.
Mm. And speaking of real life, let's turn to sectors and some very specific assets and sectors. I'm going to start with tech stocks, specifically social media companies. U.S. President Donald Trump has been railing against Twitter this week ever since Twitter applied fact-check messages to two of his tweets. Overnight, he signed an executive order that could open the door to new litigation against social media platforms. So currently, Twitter, Facebook and others are protected from lawsuits over what people post, but that could change. Now, putting aside the fact that a U.S. president appears to be using the law to punish a company, do you think his actions will significantly hurt Twitter, Jeff?
The short answer to that is no, because I think that executive order will be challenged in court, and I think its legality will be marginal. In fact, Donald Trump has even said that himself. So I think he's trying to send a message here rather than actually try and change the very nature of social media. So I believe that we may see a little bit of short-term pressure on your likes of your Facebooks and Twitters, etc., but the damage won't be long-lasting. That would require a change of law to be enacted through the Houses of Congress and the President himself, and I just don't see that making its way through at this stage. So I would say that the effects will be transitory and temporary.
But we did see Twitter shares falling nearly 4.5% overnight.
Yeah, I think we have to realise is that a lot of the S&P 500 and NASDAQ gains have been led by what I call big tech. Mm. And so there might, because there's been so much money pushed into that trade over the last couple of months, mm-hmm. it doesn't take a lot for people to suddenly run for the door. I don't think that investors these days have very deep pockets or they have no inclination to ride losses. So investors are happy to get on the wave riding higher, but they're not really going to tolerate much in the way of pullback. So the more nervous investors are going to cut those positions very quickly, and that's what causes these big drops, I think, more intraday rather than a structural change in the outlook for big tech. This is more fast money running in and out of positioning.
Got it. Jeffrey Haley, Oanda's senior market analyst, joining us this morning. Jeff, with U.S.-China tensions coming to the forefront again, overall, do you think that tech stocks are going to falter a little? They seem to be the most exposed to this issue.
I would actually think that some other sectors might be more exposed. Most of these big tech stocks don't do a lot of business inside China itself because of the Great Firewall of China. So you don't see Facebook and Twitter, et cetera, doing a lot of business inside of China. They do a lot of business with Chinese companies outside of China. So actually, I don't know if they're quite as exposed as everybody thinks they are, actually. Most of their businesses are done around the world, ex-China, so to speak. I would say that Your manufacturers, such as Caterpillar, for example, discretionary companies that export to China, say like Harley Davidson, for example, or say someone like Audi or something like that in Germany, they would be more exposed to a trade war than say the big tech itself. Certainly, I think there is going to be some issues if they continue to squeeze Huawei. And the selling of components into the United States, but I think into China. But I think what you'll see then companies such as we've seen some of the Taiwanese manufacturers actually move their manufacturing out of China and reshore it back to the US or Indonesia or other countries.
All right. Jeff, a couple of days ago, I read your writing that the rotation of US dollars is gathering pace. Why is the dollar weakening?
I think it's belatedly reacting to this, as I call it, the peak virus trade. Forex markets tend to be much more cynical than equity markets, and they tend to move at a more glacial pace, and they need a lot more evidence rather than sentiment before we start seeing that shift. I believe that in the particularly over February and March, we saw a massive inflow of money into the United States, into the US government treasuries there, because the US 10-year treasury, for example, is what we regard in the financial world as the global risk-free rate, the rate that it yields. And it's always been a haven in times of uncertainty, the United States being the largest and most liquid capital market. I think what we're starting to see now, investors getting more confident that this global recovery may have some underlying momentum to it. And unless we see some huge secondary breakouts of COVID-19 around the world, we're probably going to continue in that theme. And thus, we're starting to see that capital moving back out of the US and being deployed into other areas with greater recovery prospects, such as Europe to a certain extent, and regional markets around Asia. For example, if you look at the Indonesian rupiah, it's had a huge, huge rally over the last month.
I want to talk about precious metals. A lot of investors have been asking us on this show to do that. Investors often buy them in terms of uncertainty and sell off when they're ready to take new risks. Gold is up 13% over the past 3 months, so it's lagging behind U.S. stocks, and it's currently trading around $1,730 an ounce. Not too impressive, hey?
Well, actually, when you look at it on paper, if you're an academic, you would say that gold's fundamentals suggest that it should be much higher. This huge amount of unconventional easing that we saw recently, when you compare it to during the global financial crisis, we saw gold race to record highs at that stage. Some of this, the sheer volume of domestic fiscal stimulus and unconventional monetary policy easing should prove inflationary in the next few years, and gold has ever been, throughout the human existence, a hedge against inflation. So, you know, it has also the haven properties as well. You would say that the fundamentals of gold certainly point to higher levels, and in the longer term, I don't disagree with that at all. I think that's correct. However, I do believe in the short term that long gold has become a very crowded trade. It failed multiple times over the last couple of weeks at 1,750. And I think a lot of positioning has been put on at the highs. And we're going to perhaps in the near term see more of a correction towards the downside to flush out some of that Johnny-come-lately positioning and reduce the crowded nature of that trade. So in the short term, I think that gold has the potential to move lower. But in the longer term, I think its fundamentals are very sound indeed.
One question away from lightning round with Jeffrey Halley, Oanda Senior Market Analyst. Jeff, I want to bring the discussion back home now. Singapore is facing its worst economic contraction since independence. This week, the government announced that the economy could shrink as much as 7% this year. It appears to be tackling the problem head on with a $33 billion fourth budget, which it says will create 95,000 jobs and training places. So $33 billion is a lot of money. Do you see this assistance trickling through to support Singapore companies and Singapore shares?
I don't think that it's going to impact on Singapore shares per se directly and initially. Also, that $33 billion, $13 billion of it is going into a rainy day account. And I think Singaporeans can thank the government over the last 50 years for being so frugal with that money that they're in a position now that they can throw money at this problem to keep the lights on. I think Singapore, because it's such an open trading economy, it really is moved by what is going on in the rest of the world. And if you look at a lot of the REITs, for example, they've recovered quite strongly in recent times. Stocks have moved higher. Banking stocks have recovered quite nicely. That all reflects the possibility that we see this, we're past this global pandemic height in COVID-19, and that the world is now in recovery mode. So I think it's actually external factors around the world that are driving sentiment in the Singapore market rather than the government stimulus measures, which are really there to keep the lights on while Singapore weathers this pandemic storm.
All right, Jeffrey, it's lightning round. I just want your quick impressions on what investors seem to be thinking of these questions, all right? So are you ready?
Okie dokie.
Here we go. Favorite currency to hold or buy right now?
Indonesian rupiah.
All right. Gold, accumulate or sell off?
Sell off.
Do you expect any precious metal to outperform equities between now and the end of the year?
No.
Oil prices moving higher or lower?
Higher.
Oil prices again. What is your target level?
I believe that we can see Brent crude to around between $45 and $50 US a barrel.
Asian equities versus the US, which one has better growth potential?
Better growth potential would be Asia.
Equities in general, a bubble ready to burst or still a good time to invest?
Stay with the momentum, which is higher.
You are such a great sport. Thank you so much, Jeff, for playing lightning round.
That's all right. I'm happy to get a perfect score.
As always, Jeffrey Haley there, Oanda Senior Market Analyst. Jeff, stay safe in Jakarta and thank you again.
Thank you again. Have a good weekend.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.